It would be about 4:15 yesterday afternoon when the phone rang. We just got home from Stowmarket. And Thelma said, "You wanted on the phone." And that was Paul. Pastor had been laid low with this heavy cold, and it affected his voice. And would I be able to do the Lord's Day afternoon? I said, "Well, I ain't got anything ready. And he said that might be a good thing. Well, I don't think he meant that I should come and speak to you about nothing at all. But here we are with a few rough notes regarding John 17 and the Lord's Prayer. I'd just like to focus my thoughts, or leave a text with you in verse 24, which reads, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." I'm sure that some time in your life you've been very and utterly disappointed, or felt deeply let down by someone whose word or whose promise had not been strictly true. I'm not talking to just now about one or the other being late for a date when you were courting, but we're living in days today when you don't know who to trust. The scriptures say, "Love your neighbour," but more often than not, particularly in towns and perhaps in villages like Preston, we don't exactly know who our neighbours are, let alone seek to put our trust in what they say. There's some circumstance in our lives where we have been disappointed. There's some times when we perhaps have felt that we've been taken in, and we've been perhaps grieved of heart because someone's word has proved to be not a word which you can with 100% say that you could rely on. And you know, as you listen to the news and you read the daily newspapers, they're full of crime. There's this crime and that crime and the other crime. But one of the biggest crimes today is not physical crime, but the crime of deceit. There's many rich people and poor people too that have been taken in by what is modernly known as a scam. People may well ring you up and they may well offer you some project or proposal that involve you parting with your money, and it seems too good to be true. And if it sounds too good to be true, it more often than not is too good to be true. Satan is working his subtlety in the hearts and minds of society today by deceit. And there's many that have lost their fortunes, their homes, and everything else through the word of deceit. But our text this afternoon is a text which I feel as Christians we can absolutely say 100% we can put our faith and trust in. Because here is the Lord Jesus Christ in the culmination or the conclusion of his prayer, and his words are, "Father, I will." Now, if you've got any perception at all of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, when he says, "I will," there can be no shadow of doubt that what he wills will come to pass. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." I want you to consider this afternoon something of which the Lord is desiring here. Can you feel in his prayer to his Heavenly Father that every muscle and every nerve, every affection, every desire is wrapped up in that word, in those two little words, "I will"? Now, there's many today, they'll want this, that and the other, 'tis true. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in his word, "I will," you can rest without reservation upon what it is that the Lord is willing. I don't know about you, but I love the "I wills" in Scripture. If there's someone here this afternoon that is feeling disappointed, someone who's down in the dumps, someone who's not feeling as they should be feeling, someone full of the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who's lost perhaps an element of assurance in the Scriptures, someone who perhaps had backslidden a little away from the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to such a one this afternoon, flee to the Scriptures. Look into the promises of God to his dear children, and look and seek out the "I wills" in Scripture. I feel sure that if you've been persecuted, if you felt that you've been let down, if you feel disappointed, if you feel the doom and gloom where perhaps Satan in days past has buffeted you, and you've been persecuted by those around you, and you feel at a loose end, not knowing which way to turn, I say, turn to the Scriptures. Seek the Lord in prayer. Look up those passages that will bring reassurance to your soul, and you will go on your way rejoicing. "I will that those, that they also, whom thou hast given me." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's not willing for a universal, a worldwide salvation, but he's praying for the elect, for those that God has given him in that everlasting covenant of grace. that each and every one that God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ will come to know and will come to love and will come to serve and will come to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in his salvation of grace. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. We tend to reflect this afternoon on what a great gift salvation is to the hell-deserving sinner. And we read in God's word that this is all of grace. Works don't even begin to come into it, because God is so rich in his mercy and so full and free in his grace, that each and every one of us that have tasted that the Lord is good and his rich mercy upon us who deserve nothing. The only thing that we deserved in this life and in the life to come is hell and damnation, sitting under the bondage and the curse of sin. But through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work, he says in this prayer, I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. There's no more. There's not an iota of work left to be done to the repenting sinner called by grace to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ has done it all. He has fulfilled everything that appertained to the sinner's salvation. Grace shall reign triumphant in the sinner's heart, and ultimately grace shall reign in that heavenly assembly through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. It's a wonderful thing to be saved by grace and to know on a personal level the Lord Jesus Christ. We know as Christians we have no other plea save his finished work, save his precious blood. For we read, do we not, in Genesis 15 and verse 5, something God's people. And if we feel today that we're just few in number, we're just a remnant of what God's holy assembly will be like. We read here in verse 5 of Genesis 15, God brought Abraham and led him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And you know, this is who the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for in this prayer. This numberless number. Have you been out on a clear moonlight night and look up into the skies? And the more you look, the more you see, and the less perplexed you become because of the expanse of the sky. It looks to see as if you can see far beyond the moon, and you discover new, what they call them, constellations of stars. Thousands upon thousands of stars. And they say if you look up into the sky in a Middle East or Far East country, the stars are brighter and they seem more numerous. And these are the ones that the Lord is praying for here. A numberless number. How marvelous, how wonderful, how great is our God when he can tell Abraham. He led him out into the night and asked him to look up into the sky and asked him if he could number the stars. That's what the assembly of heaven is going to be like. And what a grand reunion it will be for those that are thus remained in the flesh if the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But you know, there's another desire in the Lord's heart. And the greatest desire of all is not just that we shall be saved, but that we shall be with him where he is. And is this the desire of your heart this afternoon? The greatest aspiration that any Christian can have is to be where Christ is. Oh yes. You notice here that there's no mention of Pan the priest to release you from purgatory. There's no artifacts here that we need to go to or embrace or worship or ask to intercede for us. There's no images here of the Virgin Mary who in some quarters in the Roman Catholic Church is called the Mother of God. But our faith, our hope, our salvation rest securely and solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. We bypass all the erroneous doctrines of men and just like simple childlike faith we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a Saviour we have in him when he prays, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Is there any doubt in Thomas's amongst us this afternoon? Is there any that have gone through a period of doubt and uncertainty, lack of assurance? What simpler word could you have for your faith to embrace this afternoon, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for your sins and my sins, whom God has raised from the dead to be the first fruits of them that slept, what simple word could we have? That the Lord is mindful of us. The Lord is concerned for us. The Lord is undertaking to bring us to God. You don't need all these artifacts of the Roman Catholic Church as your aid. You don't need to listen to the Jehovah's Witness when they come to the door. Be gracious to them, perhaps kindly. But you know, the Scriptures will be our only rebuff to them, because we know that in various places in the Scriptures, are all too ready to what we term rest the scriptures, to bring in their own particular doctrines, to bring their own form of teaching. And the more we find out about all the false religions of today, do you know what you can judge them by? What do they make of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know the Jehovah's Witnesses deny the Trinity. We know that they feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is lower than God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is lower than the Lord Jesus Christ. But we believe in a triune God, one in three and three in one, co-equal, one with another, each with their separate office, but yet working consistently and completely one with another. But there's another reason why the Lord Jesus Christ say, "I will." I've just said about the artifacts of Rome and how many are duped today and have been duped in many years past by adopting the Virgin Mary as their intercessor, by bowing down before altars of idolatry, by paying the priest money to release a departed friend or relative, husband or wife, from purgatory. The more you take, the more you pay, the more they're ready to take. But you know, there's no foundation, there's no assurance, there's no certainty that any of this will get a soul to heaven. Remember when I worked in the dairy and the manager who's his wife, his mother-in-law, they were devout Catholics. He was telling me one day, they were then off to church and, well, what do you want all that money for? Well, we got to pay Father for father-in-law. What a dupe this is. What a scam. Father, I will. And isn't it a God-given gift to you and to me that our eyes are open to the truth? Our faith, which is God-given, rests solely and completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not only going to be with him where he is, we're going to behold his glory. And that's another thing that damned the Roman church, because massive pictures have been painted by eminent artists of man's imagination of what the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Shun these pictures, dear friends, I pray. Because ear hath not heard, nor eye seen, what God has prepared for them that love him. You know, we can't begin to understand what the glory of God is going to be like. We're like Paul. We see now through a glass darkly. But you know, the day is coming when each and every one that are the Lord's will see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. Have you this afternoon this desire in your heart? Perhaps that we have read in the book of Revelation that the Apostle John, and in other instances we think of the conversion of Paul on the Emmaus Road, when they just caught a glimpse of the glory of the Lord, how they fell at His feet as one dead. Have this picture by faith in your hearts and minds this afternoon. Let no other picture intrude, because Christ is praying just now, "Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory." Dear friends, dear departed ones are beholding what a glory our God is. And this glory He has given also to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day is coming, and we shall comprehend it. We shall see Him in all His splendor, in all His magnificence, in all His sovereign power. And we shall be with Him. Dear friends, we can't begin to comprehend what that day will bring in. But there's one thing for sure, and you need have no doubt of it at all, that if you love the Lord, if you're born again of the Holy Spirit, if you're looking and longing and earnestly praying for that day to come. We read in Scripture that the circumstances and the spiritual wickedness of our day will wax worse and worse. We see it across the whole board of society today, how wicked and willful, and who's to say we should not be among their ranks this afternoon if it were not for our Lord Jesus Christ praying this prayer, "I will, that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me." Oh, what a wonderful prospect. What an aspiration for each and every one of us to behold, and to hold dear to each and every one of our hearts this afternoon, that if we be in Christ, we shall see these things shortly come to pass. May it be so that if you are doubting this afternoon, if you have doubts in your heart to your commitment to the Lord Jesus, just look in the Scripture and see all the "I wills" and all the promises of God, which each and every one of them are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus. If you feel that in society today, you can't take anyone for their word in all honesty. You know, when I was a boy, I remember that if two had come to an agreement over a deal or over something that was bought or sold, the hand would go out and they'd shake on it. And I remember that in those days, a man's word was termed as his bond. But no longer can it be said today. May the Lord keep us and deliver us from all such men. And may we, each and every one of us, have in our hearts this afternoon, I will, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. May the Lord just bless these few thoughts to your hearts and minds this afternoon. May our faith each day continue to be strengthened. And may we look no further for all our assurance, all our hope, all our joy, all our surety and assurance that Jesus is praying for us. Amen.